Good morning. It is really an honor to be with you. I have a short essay that I would like to share with you. I like to begin opportunities such as this with this words that help to center me and inspire and give me hope. We seem to give them back to thee, O God, who givest them to us. Yet as thou didst not lose them in giving, so do we not lose them by their return. Not as the world giveth, givest thou, O lover of souls. What thou givest, thou takest not away, for what is thine is ours. Also, if we are thine, and life is eternal, and love is immortal, and death only an horizon is nothing save the limit of our sight. Lift us up, strong Son of God, that we may see further. Cleanse our eyes that we may see more clearly. Draw us closer to thyself, that we may know ourselves to be nearer to our Lord and ones who are with thee are, and while those thus prepare a place for us, prepare us also for that happy place, that where thou art, we may be also forevermore. As many of you know, Charlie and I began this journey almost 10 years ago with that call that no mom or dad ever wants to receive. Your son was a victim of a robbery. He did not offer resistance. He was shot. He is deceased. That journey has carried me through a small, growing organization, the Orange County Citizens for the Prevention of Gun Violence. It has carried me to the founding of a large national organization, primarily at the first victims who had been had experienced the death of a loved one, and then on Mother's Day 2000 with a sponsorship, fiscal responsibility for a successful march that brought 750,000 people to Washington, D.C., and perhaps even more importantly, tens of thousands more across the United States and communities, as we recognized and brought awareness that too many of our young people and those that we care so much about were dying at the hands of a gun. And from that, victims group became the Million Mom March, with chapters across the United States. And then we merged that organization with the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. Many of you know that organization as formerly the Handgun Control Incorporated. So we have gone from a small beginning to a very large endeavor, and yet we know that there is still so much work to be done. I was at a fundraiser in Beverly Hills Thursday night, and the message that I brought, because I think Charlie will be giving a more of a review of what we have accomplished here in California, but I have to recognize that as I have traveled throughout the United States and have spoken before the United Nations and have traveled to other countries to bring our message of our experience here in the United States, that what we have accomplished here in California is phenomenal, but that is not shared by the rest of the country. So your attendance here, you're asking us to be a part of your service today is very, I'm very grateful for that and very thankful for your activism and your willing to learn about an issue that is sometimes difficult to talk about. I know I thought that I was immune from gun violence. I thought gun violence happened to someone else, somewhere else. I lived behind a guarded, gated community, and I thought that I was immune from gun violence. Well, I was dead wrong. And the more I learned about this issue, the more I became galvanized, Charlie and I both, because we work at this as a team, that there was so much that we needed to do, just educating people about the issue, and then to start to work for solutions. And now I'm going to turn the mic over to Charlie, who will talk about what we have accomplished here in California.
Sounds like I have my marching orders, and that's fine. When Mary Lee and I first started, the tragic number was 15 young people a day died from gun violence. And it's amazing the things people say to us, the feel-good stuff. You're only involved in feel-good stuff. Well, quite frankly, it does feel good to see that number go down, and it has. It's still tragically too high, but 9 young people a day is not 15. And we will see a time when that is ever more on the decline. When we started in 1995, a year after our son's death, it was amazing. We went up to Sacramento, and we couldn't even get stuff out of things like the Public Safety Committee. And yet, through groups like just like yourselves and talking to folks just like you and in your actions and your activities, because we're only as strong as your voice, we've made a difference here in California. In 1999, we were able to pass an assault weapon ban, not what Senator Feinstein's working on this year, but a generic ban, you know, the Rambo stance. The concept that if you want to play with those things, fine, join the military. They don't belong on our streets, and they sure don't belong in our schools. We were able to pass a bill dealing with safety standards for handguns that would get rid of Saturday night specials, the choice that a 15-year-old put to our son's head and ended his life. We were able to pass a bill limiting gun sales, handgun sales, to 1 a month. And we have people say, gee, what do you need with 12 handguns a year? But we were finding that one person would go into a gun shop and order 30 or 40 or 50 of the same identical handgun and purchase it at one time. And it didn't take a rocket scientist to know that they went right out into the streets, into the secondary or black market, and they ended up in the wrong folks' hands. And we were able to pass a bill dealing with selling safety locks with handguns, all of which were adamantly opposed by our friends in the National Rifle Association. Amazing. We came back in 2001, and we passed a very simple bill, which is called a licensing bill. We think it's responsible and accountable if you go in to buy a handgun that you should be able to show the shop safety person that you know how to load it and unload it and what to do if it jams. Just like we have to show the DMV that we know how to drive our vehicle. Again, now that is the law of the state of California against the strenuous objections of our friends at the National Rifle Association. In 2002, we discovered that there was a special immunity that had been snuck by us some 20 years ago that dealt with giving special immunity to gun dealers and so on. Something like the folks up in Washington, the bullseye that just happened to lose track of over 200 guns, one of which ended up in Washington, D.C. sniper's hands. So we were able to repeal that so that this particular industry does not enjoy anything than any other industry has to be subject to. That's where we are. That's where we're coming from. We still have a bit to do. But it's nice to look back, especially as we travel throughout the country, and we understand just how far ahead of the game those of us in California really are. We do have to go through a background check in California so that criminals and those who are mentally incapacitated cannot put their hands on guns. We now have, with the licensing bill, you have to give us a thumbprint so people who try to do it illegally can be prosecuted. we have a situation where all gun sales have to go through a federally licensed dealer. So there are background checks, and we have a 10-day waiting or cooling off period. We are light years ahead of other states. But unfortunately, since we border on Arizona and Nevada, our borders are not really that secure. And that's why in a little bit we will address the situation at the federal level.
Charlie has just given you a great review of what we have done here in California. The federal level, it's been a harder road to travel. And yet, two Tuesdays ago, we had one of the most amazing victories in the U.S. Senate. And I'd like to share that with you. The number one priority bill for the National Rifle Association was to give blanket immunity to the gun industry, to bar victims of gun violence for holding a gun dealer or a manufacturer accountable for negligent or reckless behavior, something that no other industry enjoys in this country. No other industry enjoys, and yet that was the top priority of the NRA, was to give special immunity to this industry. So, as the drama played out on that Tuesday, we had our courageous U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein add an amendment to this immunity bill introduced by Senator Craig, who incidentally is a board member of the National Rifle Association. Her amendment was to extend the assault weapon ban another 10 years, because 10 years ago there was a law to keep Uzis and AK-47s with a federal bill that passed, but with the caveat, a bow to the NRA, it would sunset in 10 years and would have to be reauthorized in order to continue. That bill will sunset in September 13th, 2004. So Senator Feinstein said, let's amend this immunity bill, and so we will keep that federal assault weapon ban in place. Caused a lot of problems. And then another senator stood up and said, you know, those gun shows where you have licensed dealers that are required to do a background check, and yet you have unlicensed dealers that are at the gun shows and they are selling weapons and they are not required to do a background check. Well, you and I know, if you're a criminal, who are you going to get your gun from? So they introduced that amendment, and this caused a lot of problems. In fact, there was a lot of whispering going and a lot of looking at BlackBerries. What does the NRA want us to do now? What do we do now? Well, what they did was to pull off that immunity bill. 90-8, that immunity bill was defeated. I can't tell you what a morale booster that was for people who have been working on this issue for years and years and years at that federal level. And I have to extend that thanks to Marilise and all of you in Orange County who are members who have stepped forward and sent a letter or a fax or a telephone call to your senators and telling them that you support opposing the immunity bill. And we also, those two amendments, we now have records of those senators on their position. And I'm very pleased and proud to be able to tell you today that the assault weapon ban passed in the U.S. Senate. The gun show loophole passed in the U.S. Senate. Now, the bill is gone. So there still is work to do, And Charlie's going to share a little bit about what we have to do to make sure that that assault weapon ban continues. And, of course, we would like to strengthen it. But we have part of what we need to do is to celebrate our successes, but also we need to go back to Washington, D.C. in 2004 for Mother's Day. And so I extend an invitation for you all to come back to Washington, D.C. And instead of just one day, we're going to have a weekend of events. And Saturday night, night before Mother's Day, is a time for us to celebrate and sort of make fun of the National Rifle Association, even though it's serious business, mischief that they do. But they have something on their website, and it's called a blacklist. It's not called a blacklist, but that's what it is. It is very people that you will recognize, Dustin Hoffman and the NAACP, the American Medical Association, Oprah Winfrey, et cetera, et cetera. You know, people that we all know, and in some way they have had the ire of the NRA, and so they have put them on a list of people to don't support their don't read their books, don't go to their movies, don't support their issues. And so we have something called the NRA.com, and I encourage you all to go to that website. And we are going to have a blacklist ball on Saturday night. And we are going to have many of those celebrities there who are on that blacklist. And it's going to be a fun evening. And then we're going to do something more serious on Sunday. We're having an interfaith service. And we will have a very strong, powerful visual of all the victims who have been lost to gun violence since our first march in 2000. And there will be a program to follow the service. And then we're doing something that is very important. On Monday, in our t-shirts and hats, and let me remind everyone, in case you don't know, you don't have to be a mom to be a member of the Million Mom March. The only requirement is that you had a mom. And that you want to work for responsible gun policy. So we are going to go to the halls of Congress. And I have to tell you, most of our House of Representatives from Orange County are stinkers on our issue. And Charlie's going to talk a little bit more about how we're going to make them smell better.
Stinkers, huh? Okay. For those of us that cannot get back to Washington, D.C., we have an opportunity for you to be heard, because the bottom line is, in Orange County, when Marilyn Brewer was an assembly member from the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, she was nice enough to do a survey, and she published it. And it tells us that she had nearly 10,000 written responses to her survey. And it's a nice type of a Republican type of a situation, bashing this and bashing that. And what she did is she did us a favor, because right down at the bottom of her letterhead, under other issues, there's a phrase that says, ban assault weapons. And of the almost 10,000 written responses that she received right here from us in God's country, Orange County, California, 81%, 8 out of 10 of us responded to a Republican questionnaire that they wanted the assault weapon banned. They wanted it. President Bush in 2000 ran on a platform of having the assault weapon ban. What we need to do, being the silent majority, is we need to understand, first of all, the overwhelming number of not only Californians but throughout the United States, we want this ban. But if we remain silent, then basically we get what we deserve. So what we have done, have to hold us out here nowadays.
Let me hold it for you.
Okay. Wait a minute here. As part of the theme for Mother's Day weekend, it's called Halt the Assault. And it's very simple. It says, we want to keep the current assault weapon ban law from expiring. When the NRA pulled the plug on their immunity bill, it also pulled the plug on the two amendments that we were successful in adding to that bill, the gun show loophole background check and the assault weapon ban. There is no sense in having military-style weapons that are designed to shoot the largest amount of rounds in the shortest period of time to cover the greatest area possible to equate to simply mass death. They're not used for sporting events. They're not used to go hunting. They're not target shooting. The easiest way to say, gee, what's an assault weapon? My simple response is simply assume the Rambo stance. Mary Lee and I were keynote speakers approximately 2 weeks after the Columbine tragedy. We had an opportunity to meet and be involved with a number of parents from that high school tragedy. One man, Tom Mauser, was on the movie Bowling from Columbine, was in it. We were talking to him about his 16-year-old son, who was in the library that noon studying, when a Tech DC-9 was put into his face and it exploded into action. I know the difficulty Mary Lee and I had dealing with the coroner, and yet I cannot fathom that family having to deal with their son and those bullet holes. That's really what's at stake here, is the safety of our loved ones and of our families and of simply common sense responsible gun policies. And we need your help. Thank you.
Got some questions and answers?
Well, they have the questions. Hopefully we'll have the answers.
Hopefully.
Yes, sir. Yes. This happens to be on the in the coffee room. And actually, we would love not only to have you fill out one, but to take a couple of extras, and if you have friends, neighbors, maybe a sympathetic workplace or whatever, make a couple extra copies. We are going to make photocopies of these petitions, or these statements, and Mary Lee and I will deliver them, personally deliver them, to every single Orange County representative when we're back in Washington, D.C.
I would also like to make a pitch. We want everyone in Orange County to know about the Million Mom March 2004 Mother's Day event. So there's extra flyers about that. If you would take that to your library, I know many of you belong to other civic organizations. If you will take them and help spread the word, if you need more, our office is more than willing to supply as many as you need.
A lot of good trees are giving their best for you. Way in the back. Yes, sir. Yes, the perpetrators, there were three young men, 15-year-olds. They were tried and they were convicted.
And where are they now?
They're in prison.
And what are their prospects?
Well, two of them received 3 to 10, so they will be getting out pretty quick. The third one got something called 12 to life. I have no idea what that is. And while we believe strongly in enforcement, and these young men should not be available. I mean, there are some crimes that are so heinous that they have forfeited their right to move about as freely. What's more important and what really bothers Mary Lee and I is how do those three 15-year-olds have such easy access to these weapons in the first place? What was the easy availability? And we know that there are folks out there that had the illegal black market that we can go after if we had a registration system, just like we have a registration system for automobiles. And that's where we want to be. We want to be in the position where we want to be in a position where we don't have to worry about the grieving.
One of the things that amazed me is I asked that 15-year-old kid who shot Matthew, killed Matthew, where did you get your gun? To me, it was immediate. I wanted to know where this gun was, for one thing. And I remember being astounded because the attorney district attorney said, "Oh, lady, don't fuss about the gun. You can get a gun very readily on the streets here." But I asked the young man about the gun, and he said, well, what they do is they go down to Florida, and they fill up the trunk with guns, and then they come into New York City and sell them in the hood. Now, this 15-year-old, you know, told me that right away. It wasn't until a year later when I was learning and was doing the research that I learned he was right. That's what happens. They go where there are not good state laws, and they traffic guns to where they have the better laws. That is why it's so important that this federal assault weapon ban not be allowed to expire, because not only did they have this weapon, but something that is has been very helpful is that the domestic guns that are produced, you can only have 10 rounds magazine packaged. If this bill is sunsetted, we will now have Uzis and other assault weapons packaged with magazines with lots and lots of bullets. Oh, I've heard that. Thank you. And I appreciate your view, and I've heard that many, many times. That's not the first time I've heard that. And I don't want anyone to be convinced that I'm trying to tell you that I am ending violence. What I see is my particular niche is while we're working on the primary causes of violence, that we are taking the lethality out of our violence, because people survived a knife attack. They survive a mugging. But you know what? They're dying in the emergency rooms of bullet holes. And there is something that we can do as a society and say we ought to make it very difficult. Not impossible. We're not calling for a ban. We're talking about accountability, responsibility, regulation, and how this lethal product is distributed in our society. We owe it to our kids.
You also have to understand that we lost our guest. You also have to need to understand that a few years back, I was invited to Sacramento to testify on behalf of something called the 10-20 Life Bill. Did it willingly, talking about enforcement. It's a very simple bill. If you use a gun in a criminal act, you're supposed to add 10 years. If you discharge that gun in California, you're supposed to add 20 years. If you actually hit somebody, it's supposed to be 25 to life. I didn't have a problem at all standing up and testifying in favor of that bill. Our friends in the NRA lost their voice. So all this nonsense I hear about, oh, you're blaming an inanimate object, we just have to focus on the criminal. No, it's enforcement, but it's also prevention, it's intervention, it's the whole public health scheme of preventing violence.
Charlie hits on a very important point, because prevention is what we're all about. And it costs California Youth Authority $80,000 to $90,000 to take care of a ward for 1 year. We know that prevention works, and it's much more cost effective in these tight budgetary times to prevent a juvenile delinquency than it is to incarcerate. This is all about prevention. It's a I have a friend in Napa Valley who lost her son to gun violence. And the way she says it, it was an argument, alcohol, alcohol and a gun. And it leads to horrible consequences. And so prevention is key. It's prevention what we're all about.
The question was, who's fighting for assault weapons, which is a very interesting question. Thank you. I hate to sound very callous, but I am. I'm getting there. It's called follow the money trail. And the bottom line is very simple. It's the money trail. And the bottom line is very simple. There are some folks that prize a dollar bill over the sanctity of human life. What I don't understand is I don't understand why an organization that was founded on gun safety wants to deal with these kind of issues the way they are. I noticed in your introduction, Jim, that you ended the interview saying, and Charles is an attorney, and, oh, well, yeah, I'm guilty. All right. But I had an advocacy class, and it was interesting because I was taught when the law's on your side, you pound on the law, and when the facts are on your side, you pound on the facts, and when neither, then you pound on the table.
and what I do and when I hear and when we're involved in panels and so on with our friends of the National Rifle Association, from that side I just hear an awful lot of table pounding, and it just makes no sense. We have over 200 million firearms in the United States. To think that we're going to disarm the general public is just ludicrous. We need responsible policies, and that's what we're working for. But thank you for the question.
Yeah.
I feel the leadership is not really represent. First of all, there's about 80 million gun owners in the United States, and the NRA averages about 3 million members. So even that segment of gun owners, it's only, what, 4, 5, 6% is all. Now, I also believe that in talking with a great number of the NRA membership, that they're not happy with the leadership. But that's their problem. I don't intend to become an NRA member.
And by the way, polls show that the NRA membership supports the assault weapon ban. But there's something in it for the NRA leadership to have this opposition to the ban extension. It's like we want to have access to anything we want, no regulation of the industry, no safety standards for our product, and no liability for any of our negligent behavior from the manufacturer to the distributor.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a website?
www.millionmommarch.org, and I hope to see, I'd like to have a dance with you at the Blacklist Ball. There is...
Wait a minute now.
At the, in the back there, there's another website that's just devoted to all the activities that are going to happen on Mother's Day weekend. So it's mmm2004.com.
Thank you. And the material that, and we'll be involved with the coffee afterwards, but the material on the table also has all this. And you have several members here that names just jump out at me, and they will be glad to keep you posted because we have a internet sharing.
I have talked personally to Michael Moore about this because I think he did a disservice on the movie, because there is distinct difference between the way they regulate firearms in Canada than the way we don't regulate firearms in the United States. And that's the difference, because I can tell you that I don't think Canadians are nicer people than we in Americans. I think that there are fights in American bars and there's fights in British pubs. But the difference is the arguments, you walk away from it in Britain. Britain and Canada. I can't say pub in Canada, Charlie, so it doesn't work. you have fights in Canada and at the pub in Britain, but the difference is in our country, you're likely to die of a gunshot wound.
The major difference that he omitted is that Canadian law has very, very strict and progressive licensing and registration. And to own a firearm in Canada, you have to go through some real strict testing. You're accountable for its whereabouts. They know when it gets transferred. They have an excellent licensing and registration system in Canada, which we can only hope and dream about here in the United States.
One more comment. I do work at the international level, and one of the comments that the Canadians come to us and say, it's your handguns that are trafficked to our country that are responsible for 75% of our homicides. 50% of the homicides in Mexico, we're not very good neighbors.
Yeah.